Good morning. Today I would like to speak about something that everybody wants. You can't get it back. Rich men want it, but they can't pay for it. Everybody wants it. It's time. And time is one of the things that you can't get it back. And I want to look at a few scriptures that make us think about time. The first scripture is in James chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Read another one in Psalms 44 and verse 4. It says, "Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow." And then the last one I'm going to read for now is in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 24 and 25. And it says, "All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flowers fall away, but the word of the Lord endures forever." And so I just wanted to bring out these things because as we look at everything that's going around in this world today, you know, people are looking at the times and the things that are going on. And, you know, as you start to get older, you start to think about time, right? When you're younger, I love seeing the little kids because when they're playing and they're doing all the things, they're not worried about time. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's for them, it's like, I remember when I was younger, time used to move slow. You couldn't wait for school to finish. You couldn't wait for June to get out to have summer. It felt like the school year was like 10 years for 1 year. It felt like you just, you know, you just wanted to get out. But time had moved slow at that time. Now it seems like time is speeding up. I remember growing up, you know, even seeing my father, right? And, you know, how vibrant he was. And he was so full of energy. Well, still full of energy, but he was a little bit more, you know, spry as he is now. But as you start to see, you're changing, the appearance are changing, you start to think about time. And it reminds you that time is fleeting. As the Bible says, it talks about time as being a shadow, time as being a vapor. When you look at a steam, it's only here for a time, right? It just goes and comes. If you're cooking something, you see that smoke and it just goes away. It makes me think about, and this is something always been said for me, this life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Is that sometimes we think that we have time. We think we have, you know, all the time in the world. And when you're younger, you do feel that way. But the Spirit of God is telling us this morning that it can end in a moment. You know, and what we should do is be always mindful of where we are and what we're doing for the Lord. So I just wanted to bring that up first to lay that groundwork that time is fleeting. Time is like a vapor. Our time here on this earth is like this. So let's go to see what time is, how the Lord looks at time and how we should use our time. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, I believe verse 16. Yeah, verse 16. That'll be verse 15 for connection. "And see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." And another one I wanted to read is Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. It says, "Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time." And then one of them we know in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10 says, "Whatever your hands finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." So I just wanted to bring this up because, again, the Bible talks about redeeming the time. What does that mean? That means every opportunity that we have, we should be doing good for the honor and glory of the Lord. Is that sometimes I know We want to wait to a certain time in our life. We want to wait to a certain, you know, we reach a certain point to start serving the Lord. But I want to implore you that I always have a mantra that I don't want to say I tell my kids, but I also tell myself sometimes, do it now, do it now, do it now. Is that sometimes we like to procrastinate, we like to put things off because we feel we have time. But things for the Lord, we should do it now. Is that do it now? We should have that urgency to do the things for the Lord. And I just want to encourage us to redeem the time. We can't get it back. There's so much time people look back at their life and they regret that they didn't do the things for the Lord, right? They look back and say, well, you know, I wish I had done this or done that. And I know I look back at my life and I regret certain things that I've done that I didn't do for the Lord because I was hoping to advance in my career or I was hoping to do this or hoping to do that. And we don't want to wait until those times. The Bible is encouraging us with these words that we should redeem the time. And we can't get it back. We can't get it back. And then that's it reminds me of that rich man in Luke chapter 12, where, you know, he was always looking to advance himself. He says, I'm gonna build bigger barns, right? He says, you know, we're gonna do this, we're gonna, you know, go and make profit, we're gonna do all these different things. And then that night his life was required of him. We always think, and that's the trick of the enemy. He always makes people think they have more time. And we can say, well, tomorrow we pray and we thank, we ask the Lord and hopefully that we will all wake up. But there's many people who don't wake up tomorrow, who haven't woke up this morning. And we can't take that gift for granted. I want to encourage us that we redeem the time, that we realize that we always have our mind that life is like a vapor. It's going to end quickly. We feel we're going to be here for a long time, but it's infinite and it will end. So I want to encourage us to do the things that we can for the Lord while we're here now. Again, I'm not saying to neglect your work, neglect your family, neglect your responsibilities. What I'm saying is that to make those things priority in our lives and redeem the time. Also, another point I want to bring up about time is that time is temporal. And the Bible brings that out in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. And I want to bring this out because this is important that we realize why we should worry about eternal things and not the things of this world. It says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So I want to bring out that point again about time. Is that the things that we see here in time right now, if we see them, they're temporal. They're not going to last. Our houses, our cars, our job, everything else, that they're all temporary and they can end. But the things that we don't see, the things that we do for the Lord, the things that, you know, that reading, the hiding the word in our hearts, that's the things that are not temporal. And so the way the Lord Jesus Christ and God looks at time is in John 17. He basically gives us his definition of eternal life or this life. And I want to turn to that also. So in John 17 and verse 3. And he says, Lord Jesus Christ said, and this is eternal life, that you may know, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So this is what God wants us to do with this life that we have. If we're all Christians, we have eternal life. And this is what he wants us to do. He wants us to use this life to get to know him more. He wants us to use this life in order for us to get a deeper relationship with him. That's the purpose that he has given us this eternal life for. It's not for us to squander it. It's not for us to act like we are in control of our lives. The Lord wants us to know that he's in control, but he also wants to know that he wants to have a deeper relationship with us. And so there's temporal things and then there's eternal things. That's why he said this is eternal life. There's this life that we know that will end, all these temporary things, this time. But we have eternal life that will continue. Our souls will continue. And I want to encourage us that this is what the Lord wants us to use this life for, to spend time with him. So it's reading his word. It's spending time with him. It's serving him, whether camp, going to conference, whatever it is. But he wants us to have a deeper relationship with him. So I want to encourage us that as we live this life, that to know that The things that temporal will pass away, but there's things that have eternal weight. And this is what the Lord is talking about, having a relationship with Him that will continue as we go with Him in glory. There's another scripture I want to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And sorry, there's no passage that gives all the time, so I got to keep on moving. So I'm sorry about having you guys turn all these scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12. Yes, 12 to 13. It says, now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will be clear for the day that will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire tests each one's work and what sort it is. And then the next one I want to read is Hebrews 1, 11 and 12. They will perish, but you remain, and they all will grow old like a garment. Like a cloak you will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. So this is just bringing out, again, everything is temporary, but the word of God endures forever. The soul of man endures forever. But I just want to let you know that the works that you do for the Lord, the things that you do for the Lord, they will have eternal weight. They will have eternal weight for us, and you will get rewards for those things. It's the things that we don't do for Christ, the things that we do for ourselves, and stuff like that. Again, we have to work, we have to have jobs, we have to, you know, do all these things. But we have to realize that these things are not important. Yes, they are important for us to eat, you know what I'm saying? But they're not important for eternal value, right? So we can't put these things above the Lord's things, right? And so I just want to encourage us that we just keep our life in perspective. That there's things that are temporal, there's things that are eternal, there's things that will continue, there's things that won't. And be careful what we're building our life on, our time on. I want to look at a couple of people who, felt they had time. In Acts chapter 24, I always like to read this because it's important. Verse 22. But when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, when Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will make a decision on your case. So he commanded the centurion to help to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide or to visit him. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul, that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound. And this is the phrase I want us to touch on. He said, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. And that's the problem with the people today, is that the Lord is not convenient for them right now. But as many Christians also, we can apply this to ourselves. Sometimes it's not convenient in the space of life that you're in to serve the Lord. We feel, well, I'll do it when I retire, or I'll do it when I have more money or more time or more this, right? But it's a sad state that he thought he had more time. He said, I'll call for you for a more convenient time. But we see 2 years passed, and he still didn't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. And that's the trick of the enemy. He always makes you think you have more time. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it when I get to this age. I'll do it when I know more about the Bible. I'll do it this. And I like how the Apostle Paul said, when he preached Christ, that's all he said. I preached Christ, and that's all that I knew. Sometimes it's all you're not going to know every book of the Bible, every verse, everything. You're not going to know. But let the Spirit of God, rely on the Spirit of God. And I like this verse in Psalms where it says, I believe it is in Psalms. It says, you know, my times are in your hands. It's trusting the Lord for your life. It's trusting the Lord to guide you through this time, and not relying on your own abilities. Look, you know, there's people who are great orators. There's people who can who can talk great. I mean, they can make people cry. They can make people feel emotion by the things that they say. You may not have that gift, right? I may not have that gift, but you can still preach Christ. You can still encourage people. I want to tell you today, do it now. Do it now. Don't wait. Do it now. If you feel you want to do something for the Lord, don't wait. Do it now. Because tomorrow is not promised to any one of us. And so we see this sad state where he says, go away for now when I have a more convenient time. I call for it. He thought he was in control. You know what I'm saying? You know, he was rich. He was a person of power. You know, he was a state that it wasn't convenient for him at that time to serve the Lord, right? You know what I'm saying? It wasn't convenient for him to serve, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to encourage you guys to come to the Lord if you do not know him. And if you are, that you continue in your walk. If you're saved, then you should be baptized. If you're baptized, then you should be taking part of the Lord's Supper. Don't wait. Do it now. These are the things that the Lord wants us to do. This is his dying request. These are things that he wants us to do. I would say, do it now. As we go forth, I want to talk about the times today. Because we know the wars and everything that's going on. So every time you talk to somebody, they're talking about, oh, the times and the things that are going on. And I want us to read Acts chapter 1 and verse 7. And it says, and he said to them, Acts chapter 1 verse 7, and he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which your Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And so the Lord knows your times. He knows your season. You have to trust him. Look, we don't know what's happening in the world. We don't know what's being fulfilled. We don't know what's being prophesied. We look at scripture and we can know these things. And I think these things are important to know, to have that comfort and a solace. But that could be a distraction also for people. You know what I'm saying? For us, we have to worry about that. This knowledge is reserved by God. And we have to trust him that he knows what's happening. We have to trust him that our time's in our hands. And I believe that the Lord wants the best for us. He wants the best for each and every one of us. So we have to trust him and say, you know what? Yes, there's these things going on in these different countries. There's wars happening. There's wars happening all over the place. But the Lord wants us to trust him in this time in our lives. It's not for us to kind of surmise and cause fear to other people and think, look, I don't watch any of those shows, CNN, MSNBC, whatever. I want to trust the Lord. I read the Bible, right? Because, you know, they want to put that fear into you and you start looking at these different things. But don't let the enemy use this as a distraction. You want to avoid speculation and distraction. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44. And it says, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So the thing is that everybody's looking at a time, but they're not looking for the real event that's going to happen is the Lord coming. You know what I'm saying? That's what the Lord wants us to be focused on, his coming, that he's coming back. We should tell people, we should spread the gospel, we should share with others that this is what you're supposed to be looking for, because no one knows the hour, time, or the hour. You're not going to expect it in the blink of an eye. You know what I'm saying? So I want to encourage us that as we go through this life, that we look for his coming. We live in expecting of his coming. We live that expecting that our life is finite. It will end. You know what I'm saying? You know, some sooner than others. You know what I'm saying? But we have to know that only what's done for Christ is going to last. Everything else is gone away. This is just something that's been on my heart and something I just wanted to encourage us with. But does this mean that we don't plan? If we know that only what's done for Christ will last, we know that all these things, does the Lord want us to not plan? Let's look at James chapter 4, verse 15. Because I know that's something that people say, well, you know, and we read that before, I want to go back to it. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Even the things we do in this life, the things that we're planning to do, I know some of you will be going to different careers, we'll get married, we'll, you know, many life things, where you should live, even down to what you know, career you're doing, when your kids growing up, different things and stuff like that, is that if the Lord's will, you're supposed to put the Lord before things. The Lord doesn't mind us planning. It's when we leave him out of the plans that I think is the issue. Is that that's the boasting or the proudness of man, is that I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, like the rich man, right? I'm going to build barns, I'm going to do this and that, but it's leaving God out of the equation. It's basically saying that I'm going to do it with my ability, and you're leaving God out of the equation. The Lord wants us to make plans, but he wants us to say, if the Lord wills, make him the Lord of your plans. Do the plans that are in according to his word. You know what I'm saying? You know, and so we want to be encouraged by that. And just some more supporting verses with that is in Proverbs 27. It says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. And Acts 18:21. Yes, I want to point on the part where it says, but I return again to you, God willing. And so it's always having God in view of our plans. And I know, you know, some of us are planners, some of us are not. But again, it's putting God in control of your plans. Pray, put the times in his hands, and be encouraged. But I always look at the Lord Jesus Christ as a perfect example of time and purpose. The Lord Jesus Christ came as a baby, and he knew that he was going to die. If I knew I was going to die, I would say, let's do it at 7 years old. Why are we doing that at 33? Because you came to die. You lived here for 33 years with that purpose, right? And you know, sometimes, man, we want to speed things up. When we know something's going to happen, we want it now. We want to do it now. But sometimes we have to wait on the Lord, too. We have to wait on the Lord and let the Lord direct the path. And I want to look at the Lord Jesus Christ as being a person of a purpose with his time, as he did, as he walked here on earth, as he waited for that moment that he lived a life that everything that he did, every step that he took, brought honor and glory to his God and Father. That he lived a life of purpose to his ending, which was the cross. And I want to encourage us as we look at his life, that we live lives like that, where we live lives that everything that we do is for the Lord's glory and honor. And our purpose is to spend eternity with him in heaven. That should be our goal for Christ coming down, looking at him in glory as our perfect example. But as we live this life, we go through this time, that we continue to look at him and say, well, let's look for his coming. So I just want to encourage us with these things, is that because as you, and I don't mean to get melancholy or anything about that, but I mean, it's as you get older, you start to think about time more. You know what I'm saying? When you were a kid, you didn't think about time at all. Time was just something. It's like, I remember my mother used to say, well, you know, you have to take a nap. And I felt like that nap was like 10 hours, right? It's like the time was like moving so slow. Now I take a nap, I feel like it was like a minute. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you just see how time just moves. That when you, it's like, I feel like I get 8 hours of sleep, I feel like I slept four, right? You know what I'm saying? It's just time moves different as you get older. And they tell you that time moves faster, right? You know what I'm saying? I remember holding my kids as babies, right? You know what I'm saying? It's just like yesterday. And then you turn around and you hear a deep voice scaring you, saying, daddy, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just how things are just moving so fast, you know what I'm saying? And the thing is that what you start to realize as you look back, the things that you thought mattered didn't matter. You know what I'm saying? The things that you thought that people thought about you or the things that you in your career or anything and stuff like that, it didn't matter. You know what I'm saying? But the things that you did for Christ, the time you spent with him, the time you read your word, the time you enjoy those times, whether it be with saints and fellowshipping, like we had Milan House yesterday, or in a conference, or whatever it is. Those are the things that you look back and you say, it was sweet fellowship, it was sweet time with the Lord, it was sweet time sitting around his word. And I just want to encourage us as we look at our lives and look at time, how are you spending your time? Where are you looking? Where are you investing your time? That's another part, another word, investing the time. Because, I mean, you know, the Lord looks at time in terms of, investing our time. Where are we investing our time? Because we're not going to get that return back in this world. The only return we're going to get back is with the Lord. And so I always remember Growing up, my father would tell me this, you know, this life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ is going to last. So if I could just leave you guys with that today, is that as you go into your life tomorrow, as we go into this thing tomorrow, do something for the Lord. Do something for the Lord. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Don't wait. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. And that's what I always tell myself, because I'm a procrastinator by nature. You know what I'm saying? I always want to put something off and things and stuff like that. But I always tell myself, and I just tell myself every morning, just do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. I tell myself 10 times, do it now. Do it now. And I always say, okay, I'm going to follow through and do this, right? For the Lord and things and stuff like that. Whether it be other things, you know, they can wait, but do it now for the Lord. In his name, say amen. Amen.